I'm curious, has anyone ever struggled with doubt?
Not today.
Not today. Well, I could tell you that it's probably very common to most of us. But, you know, I would surmise that based on the scripture that was just read, that it was the lowest point in John the Baptist's life when he made the comments that he made. Now be mindful, he's in prison. His disciples, for the most part, have left him, and the crowds were all gone. And you wonder what was going through John's mind as he was imprisoned by Herod. You wonder if doubt began to creep into this great prophet that Jesus described, who once proclaimed that I must decrease in order that he increase, meaning Jesus. But you wonder if he was thinking, did I decrease too much? Did I commit too much? Did I have to decrease to the point of languishing in this horrible prison that I'm in right now? And one could see the stark contrast. When he asked this question, to go back and ask Jesus, are you the expected one? Are you the one who's the Messiah, or should we expect somebody else? Now, juxtapose that for a moment. Think about John the Baptist along the Jordan River when he baptized Jesus and the proclamations that he was making. And now it sounds very different. Are you really the one that I proclaimed about a while ago? And so doubt had crept into John's mind. And in Thomas's case, you see a doubter become a believer. And now, in John's case, you see a believer become a doubter. John the Baptist, the one who called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, the very one who told King Herod that he was living in sin because he took his brother's wife as his own wife. This John the Baptist, unshakable faith of John the Baptist, the one who was filled with the Holy Spirit. I guess that's what it sounds like, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, that even when his mother Elizabeth was pregnant with him, he leapt for joy when Mary showed up at her home. He had the power of Elijah. He announced the coming of the long-awaited Messiah for the Jewish people. He even baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Could you imagine the honor and the privilege to have baptized Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world? He was a first-hand witness of the heavens opening up and the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove. He heard the very voice of God saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." All of these things John was involved with. He was a preacher, a real preacher, an evangelist, a prophet. He taught the masses. That's the John the Baptist that we just read about in Matthew's gospel. Is it possible for such an individual as John to doubt? With rock solid faith that this man possessed? You know, one thing I've learned over reading the scriptures over the years, and I'm sure you have too, is that there are so many heroes in the Bible who struggled with doubt. Think about it. David, the one who slew Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, David, who was a man after God's own heart, a man of tremendous faith. Listen what he says in Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Same King David, saying, where are you, God? I need you. I feel as if you have left me. And he started to doubt his own faith. Look at the prophet Elijah. He slew the prophets of Baal, and yet he fled Jezebel because he thought God was no longer protecting him. And he said, oh, I wish I would just die. Think about that. Elijah was in doubt. And then you got Jonah. You know, before he was swallowed up by the whale, he doubted that God could even use him, and he flees to Nineveh, and he's thrown overboard, and he doubted. And yet he was a great man of faith. Of course, we all know about Thomas, but I think Thomas got a bad rap. Because Thomas, it's believed through not historical record, but through the people from India, especially Madras, India. That's why so many Christians in India, they have the name Thomas, because it's believed that Thomas went to India to evangelize the people of India, where he was martyred. But even he doubted. He said, I won't believe until I put my hand where the wound is in Jesus' hand and his side. And Jesus shows up and he doubts no more. You know, I was a real fan of Jonathan Edwards. He was a great 18th century preacher out of Massachusetts. In fact, the Great Awakening, which was a tremendous revival that hit New England and this area, so much so that universities like Yale and Harvard were set on fire. They were so out of control, so filled with the Holy Spirit, that the faculty had to calm them down a little bit. Jonathan Edwards is a real pillar in the history of Christendom. And yet I want to read something that I read this week from his journal. Listen to what he says. My spirit is down, and my resolutions have lost their strength. I differ today from yesterday, for I do not resolve anything today half so strongly. He had lost his vim, his passion, and his vigor in that moment that he wrote in his journal. He was doubting. The great Jonathan Edwards. Wow. What is doubt anyway? When we talk about doubt, doubt rests somewhere between faith and unbelief. It's in the middle. It's not really being an unbeliever. It rests somewhere in between, that we're faced with something in our lives and all of a sudden the needle kind of moves to the center. We're not giving up on God, but we're just doubting and we're wondering, God, where are you when I need you the most? I was reading in James this morning in my devotions, and chapter 1, listen to what it says. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature in your faith and complete, not lacking in anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Double-mindedness. We don't use that word a lot, but it's an important word or a joined word, double-mindedness, tossed and blown like the waves of the sea, having emotional ups and downs. One moment we're happy, the next moment we're throwing a pot at our spouse. One moment we're casually listening to some comforting music, the next minute we're racing with somebody down the highway because he cut us off. Up and down, our emotions. You see, doubt leaves us in a place to be manipulated by our emotions. Doesn't mean we won't experience doubt. I already said, I have. I'm sure you have too. But it has a way of playing with our head. It has a way of playing with our emotions. You know, I don't fare very well on boats. That's why I joined the army. I get so sick on boats. I love the ocean, though. I love being on the ocean. I love being near the ocean. But I just don't fare very well on boats. Unless it's a Norwegian cruise line. Then I have no problem hitting the buffet. But you know, the same is true of double-mindedness. This constant emotional up and down pattern that will only make us sick physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Just as the waves make me sick on the ocean, when my emotions are moving up and down, I'm not well, I'm not as healthy as I'd like to be. In all of those areas, body, mind, and spirit. You know, over the years I've witnessed persons who are faced with a little bit of heat in their lives, a challenge in his or her life. And you know, I always preach these sermons to me too. I hope you realize that. I never preach down at anybody. Even though I'm higher here, it doesn't mean I go through all this stuff that I preach about. Because we're going through this journey together. Won't you agree to that? Amen. They're all on this journey together. This doesn't make me any more holier than you. And I was thinking to myself, sometimes when I'm down, or maybe when you're down, you say, well, you know, maybe I won't go to church this morning. I can't get away with that. Yeah, it's my yacht. I can't get away with that. You know, hey, honey, I don't think I'm going to church this morning. And I've said this before. There's times when I come to church and I'm down. But I know before I leave church, I'm up again. Because I'm with you, and I'm in worship, and I'm singing, and I'm getting centered. That needle, you remember that needle? The needle starts to move back to a place of faith again, and I say, boy, I'm so glad I was in church today. There was an interesting scientific study, and I want to share this with you, and my wife's got to cover her ears right now because she hates this particular reptile. It's the one that slithers, okay? I'm not even going to say the name. She has a phobia about that. But this particular reptile was born with two heads. And I think in the newspaper this week, there was a tortoise that was born with two heads too. Single body, but two heads. Now you want to talk about double-mindedness. And what happened, each head on this reptile had a developed brain. It had its own mind. And one minute, this reptile would go to the right, but then the other head said, no, I want to go left. And it would do this, zigzagging back and forth, because there were two minds operating that single body. And that's a good description of double-mindedness when we fall into doubt. I don't believe there's a person in church this morning, again, that hasn't experienced doubt in your life or in mine. Doubt means we don't know what to do next. Sort of like David cried out, "Where are you, God?" I'm in a valley. I'm not on the mountaintop today. And I wonder, are you there? Do you hear my prayers? And this is what happened to John. He had paved the very highway for the Messiah to come, but now he's locked up in a prison while Jesus is ministering in Galilee, and he's wondering to himself, "With all that I've done for you, Jesus, you think you would have at least come to visit me in prison?" Everything that John had so boldly preached about seems to have come into question as I read this text that Kathy read. Doubt crept into John's life, and now he asks, "Are you the expected one? Are you the one that the prophets said would come and save the people of Israel?" You know, Christians who have fallen on hard times have asked similar questions. I know I have. Is this for real? Is Christianity for real? Is faith for real? Why are these things happening? If you are there, God, why? I've confessed my faith in you. I'm a believer. I go to church. I put donations in the offering. I serve. I pray. I read the scripture. Then why is this happening to me? What do we do when doubt creeps into our lives like that? How do we handle it? Well, there are certain ways that we can handle this. And very quickly, question your doubts. This is what I have to remind myself of when I begin to doubt, my friends. I have to begin to question my doubt and not my faith. What do I mean? Take a look at your doubt. That's what John the Baptist did. John packed up all of his doubts and he sent them to Jesus by messenger, right? Instead of sending a messenger, we actually get on our knees in prayer and bring our doubts to the Lord. That's what John did. And Jesus sent word back to him. You see, doubt can be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. I've found that true in my own life. Doubts are not all bad, because when doubt comes in, it's a challenge to our faith. And many times when we seek the Lord during those trying moments, our faith begins to grow rather than decrease. We need to get back to the source that will guide us through our troubles. Back to Jesus, back to the Word of God, back to prayer, back to worship, back to fellowship with other believers. That's so important. And also, secondly, stay focused on what you know about your faith and not what you don't know. What do I mean by that? Jesus responded to John by trying to get him to recall the things that he had already done, that Jesus had already done. He says, "John, I made the blind to see. I caused the lame to walk. I cleansed the lepers. I made the deaf unstop their ears where they could hear. I've raised people from the dead, John. I've preached the gospel to the poor and not just to the rich. You know I've done these miracles, John. So concentrate on that, John, not your doubt. Has God ever worked a miracle in your life? He's worked several miracles in mine. And so when doubt begins to clutter my mind, and it happens, I need to recall the things that He's already done for me. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Why would I think that He can't get me through what I'm going through now? When Jesus healed the blind man, do you remember that? The Pharisees called Him into question. Is this man Jesus a sinner? And what was His response? Hey, pal. Well, He didn't say, hey, pal. He says, hey, all I know is I was blind and now I see. Whether or not this man is a sinner, I don't know. But I could see, I could tell you that much. And He stood on that. He focused on what was true. We've seen God move in our lives, friends. We've witnessed the mighty acts of God in our lives and in the lives of others. We've seen that. And He's telling us to focus on that, not your doubt. Now, I could reach back and remember when God took me out of the depths of darkness and He put my feet on solid ground. I can remember. I could go through at least a half a dozen scenarios right now when I was in a real dark place and God brought me up into the light. And He gave me hope again. Recalling those things helps me focus when I go through dark places now and in the future. And lastly, trust in the Lord with all your heart and all of your mind. We talked about that last week, taken from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll get you through that troubled place that you're in right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. One of the toughest places to be when it comes to making a decision is when we have allowed doubt to enter in our minds. God always wants to help us in the decision-making process, my friends. You got a tough decision to make? Should I move? Should I take that new job? Should I hit this guy with a brick? Whatever it is, seek the Lord. Don't just lean on your own understanding. And He'll give you the wisdom to make the right choice when you trust in Him. The problem comes into play when He instructs us in ways that we don't like. You ever do that? You sure, God? Yeah, He's real sure. We want it our way and not His way. But Father knows best, and we need to remember that. Trust means that we believe that our Father truly does know best, and He will lead us through the troubled waters that we're in right now and bring us to a calmer place where we long to be. I know we have at least one pilot here this morning. And I could tell you that if a pilot does not have good visibility, that pilot has to trust on the instruments to get him or her to the destination that he or she is seeking. Our instrument panel is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Our GPS is the Spirit of the living God. That's the one who will lead us to the destination that God is calling us to. When we place our trust in the Lord, He'll do that for us. So question your doubt, friends, not your faith. Stay focused on what you know to be true, what God has already done in your life in the past, and He'll repeat it and do it again. And trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and acknowledge Him in all your ways. Don't lean on your own understanding. and he'll guide you through those troubled waters that you're in. Now, I don't know if anybody's in troubled waters today. I don't know if anybody's struggling with something today. But I want to just pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we don't proudly say that we have doubted in our faith, but you know us better than we know ourselves. Your word says that you knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. You know everything about us. And so, Lord, if we are in a place of doubt or a struggle this morning, and should we face one tomorrow, the next day, I pray that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would direct us through these troubled areas and bring us to a place of hope and peace and calm and strength. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.